الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير، الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما الأعمال بالنيات، وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى، فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله، ومن كانت هجرته لدنيا يصيبها أو امرأة يتزوجها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه، كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected علماء اكرام, elders, dear brothers and those listening over the receivers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are fast approaching the month of Ramadan. We are halfway through the month of Sha'ban. We are in Mubarak days, and the members of many platforms have discussed the preparation of the month of Ramadan. And truly there is no other topic that should be at our forefront but the preparation of the month of Ramadan. However, this month of Sha'ban, which is a very spiritually energized month, has a very different feeling to it, considering the world affairs in the Muslim Ummah. We are all fully aware of our brothers and sisters and the conditions in Gaza, and this has created a lot of despondency, a lot of despair, a lot of emotional trauma to every single mu'min in the globe. And just as the month of Ramadan is a month of mercy, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens His floodgates of mercy, we are in a situation where the ummah has been injured, has been badly injured, and we all suffer from some sort of emotional distraught. And generally when emotional distraught sets in, the heart begins to become softened. And as much as we see despondency and despair, the softening of the heart in the way we have turned to dua, the way we have increased a'malu salih, the way we have increased acts of charity for our brethren in that part of the world, is another form of mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah in His wisdom knows why this is happening, but we should take some benefit and some positivity out of this situation that we find ourselves in. So this month of Sha'ban is meant to be a preparation for Ramadan. Together with this energy, this spiritual energy that is created by the softened hearts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates in Ramadan opportunities to draw closer to Him. Allah changes the shayateen. Allah helps us to control our base desires by fasting. Allah makes environments around us conducive to gaining His proximity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the rewards of average deeds. From the fard, we are able to get up to 70 times the reward. For a simple nawafil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala escalates the reward. So we can see this month is full of mercy. This is a great occasion that we can spend time about speaking. But I thought one aspect that often we are not speaking enough about with regards to preparation for this great month is the aspect of niyyah, the aspect of intention. And alhamdulillah, most of us are very accustomed with the importance of niyyah, with the importance of sincerity of niyyah. And we've been learning from our young days the importance of attaching a correct niyyah to an action so that that action may be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, that aspect of niyyah we are fully aware of and we are fully schooled about. But there are a few aspects of niyyah that require more mentioning and emphasis. Firstly, the importance of niyyah is brought to the fore when Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, who is the Amirul Mu'mineen of the Muhaddithin of this Ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His knowledge selected Imam Bukhari rahimahullah to preserve the words of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till this day, when we are rest assured that what was spoken by the Nabi of Allah has reached us. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah did not just compile his monumental work of the Bukhari Sharif by randomly collecting a hadith and putting them in this book. No, for those students of hadith, they well understand that Imam Bukhari was a genius. Imam Bukhari did not just place the ahadith Mubarak into his book, but there was a deliberation and a thinking behind how he set about his work. In fact, Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, the way he has structured some of his chapters of his kitab and the titles of his chapters is still for discussion right up to this day. People and the ulama ikram are still trying to fathom what was the reasoning behind Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, mentioning certain things in his chapters in Abwab. So Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, chose to start his monumental work with this hadith Mubarak. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Very famous hadith. We've heard it many, many times. The importance of intention. That the summary of this hadith where the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that your actions will be judged on your intentions. This ikhlasun niyya. And whatever intention you make, this is what's the outcome. So if a person makes hijrah and travels for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his hijrah will be a form of ibadah and closest to Allah. And if that same journey is for a proposal or to earn some worldly gain, then his travel will be for that. So the fact that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, this great astute muhaddith, the Imam of Muhaddithin, decided to put so much emphasis on hadith. In fact, it is said that 1/3 of knowledge resides in this hadith. So we know that intention is of paramount importance in everything. In fact, ulama go to the extent to say that niyyah is more important than amal. So because we know, and amal outwardly, like fasting, if it's done without niyyah, it's just a physical activity. But the intention added to an amal then rises this amal into the realm of acceptance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now we know, we understand the importance of niyyah in our deen, the importance of, understanding niyyah. And in fact, a great scholar of the past, Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, he says, we learnt about intention like how you learn about deeds. So often we are always speaking about increasing our amal salih, about increasing our good deeds. But little attention is paid to this very important aspect of our deen that is paramount. It's more important than the deed itself. So when we look at this, there is a beautiful hadith, again captured by Imam Bukhari rahimahullah in his monumental work. There's a long hadith, but it illustrates this importance of niyyah from another angle. And this is the angle I want to discuss today. Imam Bukhari mentions an incident of a man that lived in the time of Bani Israel that murdered 99 people. This is a sahih narration that is brought to us in his kitab, Imam Bukhari, where the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says this man killed 99 people. And he was a person who sincerely wanted to change his life. Like many of us, the month of Ramadan presents its opportunity to change our life. We all are beings of opportunism. We look for opportunities to do something. The month of Ramadan presents itself year in and year out for us to change. And this man sincerely had this desire to change. So he inquired on making tawbah and repentance. And he was directed to a pious man of the locality of that time. And he went up to this pious person of the time and he asked this pious person, is there chance for tawbah? Is there chance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive me? And the pious man, 99 people you've killed? No way. No way that you're going to be forgiven. And I'm just giving you the mafhum of the hadith. Then this man was also killed. So he made it 100. So now this burning desire, this is the aspect of niyyah. The sincere niyyah, he still wanted to be forgiven. And so he made his inquiry and he was directed to an alim, a person of knowledge. There's many lessons derived from this hadith, and the time is short to derive all the hadith. So he went up, derive all the lessons. He went up to this learned man, and this man was a man of ilm, and he says, for sure, there is nothing beyond the mercy of Allah. There is nothing beyond the tawbah of Allah. All you need to do is you need to go to a land where the people are engaged in the ibadat of Allah, engaged in the obedience of Allah, and you need to leave your place. The place that you are residing is the sabab and the means for you to commit all these heinous acts, and you need to leave and don't come back here. And so the man was very desirous of forgiveness, and he left. And the hadith says, and as he left towards the land of the opportunity to make tawbah, he passed away on the way. And then the hadith goes on to mention, the sahaba the malaika then descend. The malaika of Jannah and the malaika of Azab then descend on this person. And they begin to have an argument with regards to who this soul belongs to. The malaika of Azab are saying, this gentleman, he's lived his life full of sin. He's killed 100 people. He's not, the hadith says he hasn't performed one act of obedience to Allah. He hasn't done one good deed. Not one good deed recorded in his records and 100 murders. So the malaika of Azab say, this man is surely, you know, this is our prey. The malaika from Jannah say, but this man, at that time, a malaika in the form of a man comes to decide which group of malaika will take the soul of this person. And this angel then says that we should measure the distance between the two towns. If he is closer to the town where he was meant to make istighfar, then he will be from the people of Jannah. And if he is not, we will take him to the fire of Jahannam. And to cut it short, it so happened that this fortunate soul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitated for him that he ended in Jannah, because the distance was, some narrations of the hadith say it was one hand span, he was closer to the place of the pious people and the place where he intended to make tawbah. The lesson we learn from here is that this person did not perform one good deed. His scales were heavy with the heinous acts of 100 murders. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided based on his intention. And Allah is the knower of hearts. And Allah forgave him. And Allah gave him the ultimate rank, and that is entrance into Jannah. Very important lessons for us to learn. And many of us sit in the situation where we often see the month of Ramadan and we think our sins are so great. If only you know my sin, there's no hope for me. There's no point even turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a great encouragement for us in this hadith of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second aspect, or a second hadith, with regards to the same concept, where the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that man hamma bihasanatin, falam ya'mal biha. That whomsoever he intends in his heart sincerely to do an action of good, and falam ya'mal biha, he doesn't get the opportunity for whatever reason to do this action, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him with the reward. So, alhamdulillah, we make intention to give charity to somebody as we go out of the masjid today. And we so happen we forget completely. Inshallah, that the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that just that sincere intention of doing this act of charity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will record in our book of good deeds. And how merciful is our Allah. The hadith goes on to say, وَمَنْ هَمَّ بِحَسَنَةٍ فَعَمِلَ بِهَا. That if you do carry out that action, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you anywhere between 10 and 700 times. This is ash-shakur. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is ever grateful of our actions. You know, if we look back and we think, any one of us, can we ever remember the first rand we gave in sadaqah? Or the first few cents we gave in sadaqah? We cannot remember it. But rest assured, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has it recorded. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever grateful for his servants who are obedient to him. And then the hadith goes on to say, the one who commits an evil deed and he doesn't carry it out, then it's not recorded. And if he does carry it out, the evil deed, he'll only be scored minus one, we would say. It would only be recorded as one evil deed. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first aspect of niyyah we need to understand, brothers. In the build up to for Ramadan, we should make big intentions. We should have big resolutions that I'm going to read X amount of Quran and be ambitious. Because if we don't do that, then we can rest assured from this hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us that reward. So if we are someone who's not very accustomed to reading Quran, make some ambitious goals about reciting Quran. Same for salah, same for charity, same for working on aspects of our akhlaq. Make these ambitious intentions and have this firm resolution that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward me, come what may. So this is the first aspect. The second aspect of niyyah, an intention that is often overlooked, is this aspect of being able to make multiple intentions on a single action. And again, we're looking to score. The month of Ramadan, as we say, is the high season. The businessmen will know the high season in December. They put up various ways of snatching a deal. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to score heavily in Ramadan. He's given us extra reward for actions. But look at this aspect of niyyah. Even without performing action, we could get a reward. But more than that, if we do one action, we can make multiple intentions. So one of our great faqih, Mufti Taqi Usmani rahimahullah, Mufti Taqi Sahib, he mentions that he makes an intention for 2 rakat salat every day. But with this 2 rakat salat, it's just a 2 rakat of salah. He makes 5 intentions. So his first intention he makes is that of salatul tawbah. Oh Allah, I'm reading this 2 rakat salah as a means of tawbah, as a means of my seeking for forgiveness for the day. The second thing he makes the intention of, oh Allah, I'm reciting this 2 rakat salah as salatul istikhara. Oh Allah, I've got a lot of things to do for my day. Oh Allah, you help me to decide about these aspects of my life. Thirdly, he makes salatul isti'ana. Oh Allah, I'm reading these 2 rakat salah so that I may draw from your assistance during the day. Then he makes a salatul shukr. Oh Allah, I'm making salah that I can show my gratitude towards you. These are the intentions that Hazrat Mufti Saab makes with regards to the 2 rakat salah that he performs every day. But just the 2 rakat salah, he's developing or he's receiving 5 rewards or 5 different aspects from that 2 rakat of salah. So this is the concept of multiple intentions from a single act of worship. In fact, people like the people of the past were very aware of this. Ibn Qayyim, a great scholar of the past, he used to mention that this aspect of multiple intentions for a single act of worship is a noble door that only the clever and the motivated and the knowledgeable enter to receive multiple rewards from a single action. So inshallah, we should try and imbibe this aspect of niyyah as we build up to Ramadan and as we capitalize and maximize our actions and our deeds for Ramadan. And finally, the third aspect of niyyah that is often forgotten and we often are not emphasized enough is that sometimes our mundane activities can become a form of ibadah for us. Mundane activities like sleeping and eating and going off to work to earn our livelihoods can be a form of ibadah. And how so? How so? Beautiful hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, something to this effect, he says that everything in this world and everything in this world is cursed except the remembrance of Allah and what's attached to the remembrance of Allah. So if we can attach any activity of our mundane living to the remembrance of Allah, then we will be considered as those who are in the dhikr of Allah. And then we will attain some reward for it. So take for example, just the mere act of sleeping. In fact, Mu'adh radiallahu anh, he used to say, I account for my awake time as I account for my sleeping time. Meaning, he wants to score while he's sleeping also. And how does he account for that? By making an intention. The hadith of Rasulullah also mentions that the person who sleeps at night, intending to wake up for tahajjud salah in the morning, and he oversleeps, he doesn't wake up for salah, again ties up with our first point, then he will be rewarded as if he read his salah, and he will get charity for this intention also. And that is a person who hasn't woken up for tahajjud salah. So make simple but dynamic intentions for mundane activities. Hadith also of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, something to this effect that the person who puts a morsel of food in the mouth of his wife, he receives a reward for that. We are doing these activities, but we are missing out on the reward because our mindset hasn't been set so that we can retrieve from the treasures of Allah by just changing our intentions. So like that, we can go through the whole list of daily activities. But what's important also to mention is the ulama tell us that this is a good way of gauging whether the activities we are involved in is futile, is good for us. He says every activity, every mundane activity, we should try and attach a niyyah of the pleasure of Allah. So I mentioned eating, sleeping, drinking. In fact, there are some ulama who have compiled entire list of niyyah just for dressing, up to 60 niyyahs just for dressing. Mundane activity. But we can retrieve and we can get reward for this simple action by changing our intention. So intention for mundane activities is another scoring point for us for this month of Ramadan. Because the reality is, brother, the sum total of the life of a mu'min is how we can increase, and how we can increase good deeds and a'malu saliha on the day when our a'mal will be weighed. And we want our deeds to be, the good deeds to outweigh our bad deeds. So again, we look at making niyyah with regards to our mundane activity and how we can make it count. Finally, brothers, we just conclude on the few points that we mentioned today, because there was lots more to speak about niyyah, and niyyah is such an important part of our deen. But just to conclude, just to see what we've discussed for today. So important to know that niyyah is of paramount importance in our deen. In fact, niyyah is more important than a'mal. If the niyyah is not correct, the amal will not be accepted, and it's like fasting, but you would go the whole day with hunger and thirst, but no reward. So niyyah is of paramount importance, and sincerity and correct niyyah is vital in all our actions. And we spoke about the hadith of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he mentions that you will get rewarded on what your intention is. So going into this month of Ramadan, let's focus on the important aspect of correcting our niyyah. This is called ikhlasun niyyah, sincerity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, we spoke about trying to gain more from our actions by multiplying our intentions. So if we were to read a single 2 rak'at salah, make multiple intentions. If we were to do some act of that is of benefit to us in terms of ibadah, attach more intentions to it. If we come to perform salah, we can also make intentions. Oh Allah, I want to read salah, so I gain proximity to you. Oh Allah, I want to read salah, so that I may become more connected to you. And these are multiple intentions that could get us more connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and more reward. And finally, we spoke about attaching a niyyah for the pleasure of Allah to our mundane activities. Person is going out to work to earn his livelihood. His intention should be there. Every day he would be earning his wealth. Every day he's earning his living. But he should attach an intention, oh Allah, I'm earning this living so that I can support my family, and this is an obligation on me. And this is his reward, inshallah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he gives me tawfiq and all of us tawfiq to maximize from these few days left before the month of Ramadan in preparation, so that when the month of Ramadan comes, we have a goal chart, and we have aspects of our Ramadan that we will maximize on once the month of Ramadan starts. And let's put our niyyah in focus and how we can maximize this month of Ramadan through our niyyah, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.